Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast for the week of February 14th, 2022. I'm your host, Zach, and joining us this week we have Chris.
Hello.
And we have a ton of stuff this week. We've got all the trailers from the Super Bowl that happened this past weekend. We've got Paramount Plus dropped like a ton of news on some sort of, they had a big like Twitter event a la Disney Plus or something this week. So we'll dive into that stuff. Bunch of stuff to talk about as well. But we got to kick things off, unfortunately, with sad news like we have had to do like the last couple weeks here. Ivan Reitman passed away over the weekend. I believe it was like Saturday, but we didn't find out until like late Sunday. And yeah, I mean, just yeah, comedy legend, obviously. I mean, Ghostbusters is the one everyone probably goes to. But I mean, also like Kindergarten Cop and Twins and Stripes, Meatballs.
You know, I've never seen Meatballs.
No, that's like, yeah, isn't that like Bill Murray's like first movie ever?
Yeah,
like, fresh off SNL, Bill Murray.
Yeah, it was like experimental film of like, can he carry a plot?
Yeah. Because that was like Caddyshack came after Meatballs, so.
It's weird. I always like Caddyshack came first because it seemed like a lot more alumni were in that movie.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, Kindergarten Cop is a favorite around here. We love Kindergarten Cop, and Twins, obviously.
I do like that every 5 years he kind of worked with like another star, and he made at least two movies with them.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't just tied down to like always casting, like producing, like one like famous comedian. It's like, okay, let's experiment. Let's try to get something else, like a new duel. Let's see who can throw in a room, and try to make it funny.
Yeah, I do wonder what's going to happen with, because they're in pre-production for Triplets, which is going to be the, sequel to Twins, but I don't know if, I mean, they're going to have to, like, find a new director, obviously, unfortunately, because of that, but, or I wonder if that movie just dies, like, in pre-production now.
I mean, the concept's fun, and I feel like, I don't know, like, should he go down with the ship? It's an interesting cause. I sort of like the Twins movie. It's one of those, like, you watch it a few times, it's funny, but when you watch it for, like, three main scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a franchise. Like, it was never supposed to be a franchise. It was just kind of like this funny idea that it's got to be a franchise.
You know, one Ivan Reitman movie that like, I think people just, like, when it came out, like people like they were just like, this is a Ghostbusters. I hate this. This Evolution.
Yes, I always forget he.
I love Evolution.
Yeah, Evolution was fun. Like I didn't see it when it came out. When I rented it, I was like shocked how like it like good it was.
Yeah, the cast is awesome. There's so many like great like Great Gugamuga from Orlando Jones is just like one of my go-tos. Or just like Charlie Scott, I love is like there's like this bit where like eating at the diner is like, you're gonna eat that? He's like, yeah, I ordered it, didn't I? I feel like Charlie Scott is like carried forward like his like caca caca, like his like bird cry thing from Evolution. Like he did like the rundown, he did a bunch of other movies after that. So that was like being like a Charlie Scott like running joke of like his like weird bird call.
Where he can cram that in every role he's in.
Yeah.
Surprised he didn't use that in like the Lethal Weapon season.
Yeah. Caw, caw, caw.
Game too old for this shit.
And definitely weird, like the last movie that Ivan Reitman directed, he did a couple like short like documentary stuff, but his last like feature movie was Draft Day, the Kevin Costner movie.
That's not a comedy.
No, that was like I feel like people like forgot that movie came out.
I kind of remember it just because the poster was ridiculous. It was just Kevin Costner in a blue suit, I think, like just by himself.
Just like a gray suit and like with a football. Just like
yeah, And the whole movie was like, he just wanted like to pick the best draft people. And that was the drama. And it was like, can he do it? Does he know his football players well enough so he can pick the best? I get it. It's like sports intrigue, but like they didn't play sports. I think the whole movie was the idea of like organizing a team.
No, it was all set during, it was like set during draft day. It was just like him picking his team. Like
that was it. That was the whole concept. Yeah. I just remember, like, ESPN trying to, like, play it on TV, which is like, hey, the movie Draft Day. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I did not expect Ivan Reitman to produce that one.
Yeah. And also, like, a lot of producing side of things, too, for Ivan Reitman. He obviously didn't direct that, but he produced, like, Space Jam. He produced Old School, Euro Trip, I Love You, Man. Mummy's Alive. That's such a weird like
the TV show.
Yeah, he produced the Mummy's Alive like 90s cartoon, which is such a weird like. All right, it's like he produced like the like Beethoven like the short lived Beethoven show. He produced like Stop or Mom Will Shoot. He produced Beethoven the movie.
You know, I never I don't remember the Beethoven TV show.
No, I was just when I was looking through like Ivan Reitman's like IMDb, I'm just like, oh, there was a it was a cartoon. Yeah, I think it was like a Saturday, it was like a CBS cartoon maybe or something. It was the 90s, like any movie in the 90s that was popular got a cartoon, like Dumb and Dumber, The Mask, and Ace Ventura all got cartoons. Like
that I remember.
Yeah.
Can't tell you what the plot was, but I remember the art was like different for each one.
So yeah, tons of contributions to the world of comedy and TV and movies from Ivan Reitman. So he will be missed. So moving on, the Super Bowl was this past weekend. So we got the usual big trailers during the commercial breaks or like debuting slightly before or after the game. And probably the big, definitely the biggest one or the ones like definitely ones like drawing the most like theories and like Reddit detectives digging into it is the new Multiverse of Madness trailer, Doctor Strange. So yeah, there's like a 30-second clip during the game, but there's like a full like 2-minute trailer that went up like pretty much exact same time as the trailer that was during the Super Bowl. And yeah, tons of new stuff, tons of stuff to dig into. Lots of theorizing, lots of like people like digging into frames and trying to figure out what the hell's going on with this movie. I mean, if nothing else, it looks even like this new trailer just makes it even crazier. Like it, like if even half the stuff that people think is true is going to be true in this movie, like this is going to be like even beyond No Way Home. Like this is going to be like absolute batshit insanity. And I think the biggest thing for the trailer is that it definitely sounds like, I mean, we don't see him, but it definitely sounds like Patrick Stewart is in there. Like, did you hear that, Chris?
Oh, yeah, I saw them, like, kind of wheeled into the scene. But it's definitely, like, a soft-spoken Patrick Stewart, so it's like...
Yeah, I
think that's him.
Yeah, I think the big theory that everyone is digging into now is that, Doctor Strange is getting like arrested or called before like the Illuminati, but it's gonna be like gonna be like a multiversal Illuminati. So it's like Professor X. It's like Professor X from like the Fox universe, and like people are just going nuts about like, oh, Tom Cruise is gonna be Iron Man like from another universe, like. Which I don't know where that like start, like the only thing I've seen of that before was like people were like making that like meme of like, oh, what if they made the Avengers in the 90s, like that meme that was I've seen before. Like I don't think there's like, I don't know where people were just like, oh, it's definitely happening, like Tom Cruise is definitely gonna be Iron Man, like, or like Superior Iron Man or whatever. And then I guess maybe Mordo like works for the Illuminati now or something.
Because he's just like kind of like their like enforcer.
Yeah, because it seems like he's the one who like arrests, because Doctor Strange is arrested and like brought before like this like weird like Bill and Ted Council. looks like
yeah.
Looks like the council from Bill and Ted.
I wonder if the be excellent to each other is going to work.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, yeah, just so much crazy stuff looks like it's happening in this movie. Like just multiple Doctor Strange variants, and looks like tons of stuff with Wanda. Like if you didn't see WandaVision, like it seems like WandaVision is like a must watch before you watch this. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's weird. Is like, I still can't figure out how the other Marvel TV shows have kind of not mentioned the Wanda events.
Yeah, well, I mean, Westview happened, then she kind of like just like went into like the mountains or whatever. to, like...
Yeah, but like no one in another show kind of mentions like, hey, did you hear about the thing about Wanda? Like anything like that? Clint didn't even care.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, just kind of tie it in. What's going on? These other movies would talk about other events in other movies, but the TV shows just kind of pretend like they, other things didn't happen.
Yeah. It's still no hint at if Loki's gonna show up, because I think that was the other thing too, is like people were like, I thought there was like a casting thing, or like maybe it's like a rumor like that, like Loki was gonna show up in this movie too, because he obviously is like tied into the multiverse stuff as well. So but yeah, I mean it looks absolutely nuts. Even just on a visual level, it looks fucking nuts. So and then not even counting like all the, like whatever like crazy multiverse character cameos or who's gonna show up in this thing. So definitely, I'm definitely like super, super excited for this one. May 6th is when that's happening, so a couple months away. But yeah, this could be like even like we thought No Way Home is crazy. Like this could be even crazier than No Way Home. And then we got the first trailer for the huge Lord of the Rings show. It's going to be on Amazon Prime. So the Rings of Power, we got the first trailer for it. And
did you hear that backlash?
Oh, about how, like the dwarf queen doesn't have a beard and stuff.
Not, it's just like everything. It's just like so. It looks like high budget and low budget at the same time. They kind of like are adding way more background to characters that like didn't seem like they needed like to be a warrior woman.
Yeah, young Galadriel is like gonna be like main character. She's like running around in armor fighting stuff, and
it doesn't bother me that she has armor, but it's just like, where was this during the rest of the series? Like,
yeah, why did she like fight Sauron or whatever? Like, why was she just in the woods then?
Yeah, so like when you, I'd rather have like a new character than kind of just add more lore to this character, and then not explain like why she's this way. You know, it's like they're probably gonna be like, I'm done playing warrior, like, and then you just sat on your ass for like 500 years. At least like Elrond, he kind of had a point where like he tried to help and mm-hmm. it didn't work, and then he gave up on humans.
Yeah,
that makes sense, right? And that's why he's like, no, like he's like the last line of defense, so if anything fucks up, like he's out. He can at least kind of like lead his people out of the elven woods and to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then is there supposed to be like young Gandalf the Grey or something around this time? Like how are they addressing that?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember like some of the like Lord of the Rings. I feel like the wizards all were like when like the like whatever like when Middle Earth was created or whatever, like the wizards like were created with it or something. That's all like crazy similarity and not like it's like craziness. So I don't know. I read about it on Wikipedia like once. That like I was just like, I don't know what the hell Edwin's talking about. What is this talking about? There's so much lore to like try to like parse.
And I'm like, I'm okay with the TV show like idea. I think it's fine that they kind of do the TV show instead of like cram it all into like four movies or whatever.
Yeah.
I just the premise. I don't know. It's just like, oh, we create the rings, and then it's gonna take, you know, all these events we're going to like really explore, which I guess if you're, I guess it's like really exciting if you're like a huge Hobbit fan, like a Lord of the Rings fan, regardless.
Well, we're going to see like the, the creatures that became hobbits, like the, I think they're called like Harefoots or something. Like, so it's, they're not hobbits yet. They're like the, like the, like ancestors of hobbits.
Really? I thought hobbits were just a thing.
No, that's like these Harefoots evolved into hobbits. Cause this is like thousands of years before Lord of the Rings, like Lord of the Rings starts or whatever. So.
That's the end of the timeline. I can't figure out. Like, certain things look the same, and then it's like, no, this is actually like a generation before. I'm like, huh.
Multiple generations before, yeah. But yeah, that's it's gonna be September 2nd this fall. So, I mean, I'm definitely gonna check it out, at least the first episode or so, just to see what's going on. See if that money's on the screen, because like, were they spending like $100 million every episode or something on it?
Something crazy. Yeah, it's like this is like a crazy amount of money they bought in on, and I'm not sure.
Jeff Bezos's pocket change, like.
Yeah, and all they did was like this a month in Amazon, and then they just paid it back. Mm-hmm. The thing I kind of am hoping is that it revitalizes like more epic movies in the genre, because it's kind of when Lord of the Rings came out. The first time, there's all these like competitors are like, "Oh, let's make like our own version of Lord of the Rings." Yeah, that was a hilarious time.
Yeah, there hasn't been a big like fantasy movie. I don't think like we've gotten like a bunch of shows like The Witcher and stuff, but we haven't gotten like there hasn't been like a big kind of like movie recently.
Yeah, but you know, it's you never know where it sparks it.
Mm-hmm. So last trailer that came out of the Super Bowl was that we got the first trailer for Nope, which is the latest from Jordan Peele. And pretty interesting trailer. Although I think the big question is like, do you think it's aliens or not, or is that like all like a misdirect? It's gonna be something else, like something weirder, or like more like unexpected. Demons. Because pretty much what it seems like for this trailer is that alien, like there's like. It's like aliens are invading and then sucking people up and abducting people, but I mean it could. But then, based on like Get Out and Us, I mean there's probably something else going on that we're not going to find out until we watch the movie. But
I think it's gonna be aliens. I think it's like the premise is gonna be more.
It's probably aliens, but then it might be like there's probably gonna be some sort of like different kind of like reason they're here or something, or like they're like people are getting abducted, but then it's like there's some other reason they're being abducted or something. Like,
well, okay, this is gonna sound kind of weird, but this one makes sense. It's just like Get Out, where the humans have offered the minorities as sacrifice to the aliens. Like, so it's like, oh, get these guys. Like, if we're going to take us, take these guys. That is, like, sort of the angle I've seen in the writing that Jordan Peele kind of writes, where it's like, it's always a play on that. Mm. At least Get Out was like that. Like, that was hammered home. Us was a little different, because was there white people clones, evil clones, or is that just like a thing that happens?
I think there's. I think the thing was like, there's literally like a clone of like every single person on Earth. I think is what was it? The thing of Us, because Elizabeth Moss and like Tim Heidecker had like clones too. So.
So I mean, there it could be that. Like it could be another like maybe it's not white people, but it could be. Another statement about that, where it's like elitists have offered. Because think about it, like rich people don't get abducted by aliens. You've noticed it's like rich people don't believe in like ghosts. They don't believe in modern rich people. I will get into the whole like if you're rich enough, you can try to speak to the dead. That phenomenon that happened back in like you know the 1930s and 40s.
Yeah,
that was like the last time everyone believed in fantasy. But that was like a nice hysteria. But, you know, I could see, like, basically that there's, like, a weird Jeff Bezos in that movie that was just, like, I will, like, tell you where to abduct from if you give me space technology. But it's interesting. Like, it looks good. Like, the camera work looks good, you know? Like,
Jordan Peele's a great director, so...
Let's see how this stands up.
Yeah, it's going to be July 22nd this summer, so probably definitely highly anticipated by a bunch of people. And I'd like to get out in Us, so I'm definitely going to check this one out at some point. And then, not at the Super Bowl, but a couple days afterwards, we got the first trailer for the Rescue Rangers reboot/comeback, quote-unquote, is what they're calling it. Which is going to be a Disney Plus original movie. And I think, like, this trailer is, like, I don't know what I was expecting for this trailer, but this trailer is definitely, like, way, like, this movie's going to be way more weird and interesting than I think everyone thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah. I was generally shocked.
I think a lot of people were just, like, expecting it to be, like, just kind of a straightforward, maybe, like, the Rescue Rangers are CG now, and it's just going to be a straightforward, just, like, mystery movie. But this is like Roger Rabbit 2, basically. And Roger Rabbit's fucking in there. Like.
Yep.
And when MC Scat Cat showed up, I was just like, what is this movie?
It's like MC Scat Cat, Paul Abdul, and then it's like, does Disney own the rights to Cats or something? Like,
I think that was a Fox movie, yeah. So that might be they own Cats, I think.
That was hilarious. And then they're also making fun of
like Robert
Zemeckis, CGI.
Like, yeah. So it's like it's gonna be like this like big like commentary and just like animation, the animation industry in general, but tied to like this like
the Rescue Ranger.
What? Like, yeah. Thing.
What a weird way to make a joke about the industry, but through the Rescue Rangers. I mean, Who Framed Roger Rabbit was that?
Yeah.
Back in like the late 80s, and now it's like 30 years later, it's gonna be the Rescue Rangers doing that.
But the Lonely Island guys are behind it. So Akiva Schaffer is directing the movie. Andy Samberg is gonna be voicing Chip. Oh no, I think Andy Samberg is voicing Dale and John Mulaney is voicing Chip. And it's basically 30 years. It's basically like a Roger Rabbit premise, because like basically Rescue Rangers, like the 90s show, was just a show that like Chip and Dale were actors on, and so they weren't actually like detectives. It was just like a show. They were actors on a show, and it's like a Roger Rabbit universe where like cartoons and humans live side by side together. And it's 30 years after the cartoon, and like they have to like reunite to solve a mystery. And it seems like based on the trailer, based on they don't see her. I believe like. And like the premise is the plot summary on like IMDb is like, oh, one of their cast members goes missing. So I think Gadget goes missing or something because she's not in the trailer at all. So I think like Chip and Dale like kind of reunite and like find out what happened to Gadget. And yeah, then they just like explore like this weird Los Angeles that's like full of like animated characters along with like regular human characters. And yeah, it's just like a lot of like just like commentary on animation, and like yeah, I love the bit where Dale has gotten like CG surgery, so that's why he's CG, and then Chip stayed 2D.
I do like that. I like the mixed use, and it's like the joke of it.
Yeah, and like Seth Rogen's playing like a Robert Zemeckis like Polar Express Beowulf character basically, because they're making fun of that entire like dead-eyed like animation style. And like it looks like they go to like a convention with like a bunch of like other like My Little Ponies there and a bunch of other characters like are so that's gonna be like, probably a big thing. So yeah, this movie is like definitely much more like interesting than I think everyone was expecting it to be. So I'm definitely gonna check it out when it comes out. And it's gonna be May 20th on Disney Plus. I wonder if the Lonely Island is gonna like do any like songs or like update like the Rescue Rangers theme or anything, like make it like a new like Lonely Island song.
And here's another weird combo. I just never thought like the Lonely Island would ever work with a Disney movie.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
You think about like Hot Rod, you think about
Popstar.
Popstar. I just like, oh yeah, now Chip and Dale. Like, what?
I mean, they probably. They probably grew up with it, like all of us.
Yeah,
did,
but like those movies aren't like exactly like kid friendly. So you really isn't to be for kids. So this is how like Disney wants to be edgy.
There's like some weird like the fact that like Monterey Jack is just like a fucking like junkie now, but like a cheese junkie, I guess that makes it like Disney safe, but like still like just weird, like that whole like scene in the trailer where it's just, like there's like the rat just like cheese, like it's just, like a strung out rat in a street like eating cheese. There's definitely some weird stuff that like is just like, wow, this is a Disney, like Disney is like letting this happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty funny. It's like, okay, this is, if you think about it, the original Who Framed Roger Rabbit, there's like alcoholism.
Yeah.
Like hobos. So you get like the next step, I guess.
And murdering cartoon characters.
Yeah. And Dip.
Yeah, that's Dip is like murdering, like destroying cartoons at like a cellular level. In like a horrible, horrible, torturous fashion. But yeah, so definitely excited to check that out. And I wonder what else like we're gonna like forget like a weird like if this is successful, I wonder if we get like a some sort of like weird meta like Goof Troop movie or something, or like Gummy Bears or something.
That'd be interesting.
Because obviously, like DuckTales already had like their reboot that was fantastic, and they also kind of like incorporated Darkwing Duck into it.
Yeah, I'm wondering like they brought in the DuckTales universe into it, and then it's like how much of a cameo they're gonna explain, where like are certain things actors or certain things like real in that universe. And I think like in the Chip and Dale universe, it's implied that every cartoon is an act, like famous cartoon was an actor on a show about that show.
I think it's like a Roger Rabbit universe where cartoon characters are actors, just like human actors.
So they're like Toontown.
Yeah, it's like Los Angeles is made, all of Los Angeles is Toontown now. But so definitely check that out when it comes out on Disney Plus. So jumping over to another streaming service, Paramount Plus had a ton of announcements. They had some sort of Twitter. I don't know if it's like a streaming event, but it definitely was just like this like kind of Twitter event where they're like posting like tons of news at an hour or a couple hours on I think it was like Tuesday this week. So they realized tons of new shows, tons of new movies, tons of like general Paramount news. So they are going to do I think we already knew that there's a new Ninja Turtles movie coming in 2023. Seth Rogen, I believe, is writing it. And that's going to be, I think it's going to be a like CG movie. Like they're kind of like going back to like the like CG style movie, not going to get like another like live action Michael Bay style Turtles movie. But then after that movie, there's going to be a bunch of villain specific Paramount Plus exclusive movies. They're gonna like focus on like a particular villain from the Ninja Turtles universe. So like maybe like Krang or Shredder or like Baxter Stockman or like some, like whatever other like villains they come up with. But there's gonna be a bunch of like just like exclusive movies on Paramount Plus.
Do you want to see a Krang movie?
I mean, maybe. Maybe it's set in, like, Dimension X or something, or then we just get this whole, like, Krang origin. Because, like, I feel like, if they follow, like, didn't, like, the, like, IDW comics have, like, a really awesome, like, Krang origin story where, like, he's, like, it's, like, this, like, Dimension X Civil War kind of thing going on? I don't know if they would, like, go that crazy, but, I mean, I think there's, like, precedent for, like, at least, like, interesting kind of, like, rise to power of Krang story.
I mean, listen, it's just like, I would be a comic, like, but like, I don't know if you could be entertained by a whole movie.
Yeah. Like, can you do like an entire movie about Beavis and Rocksteady? Like, we all love them, but is there enough there for like an hour and a half long movie? But we're also getting a they confirmed A Quiet Place Part 3 is coming. It's gonna be 2025 is when it's coming out, and Michael Cernowski is gonna be directing it. So yeah, John Krasinski is gonna be just be producing it this time, and Michael Cernowski directed like Pig last year, Nicolas Cage movie. So
it's funny to see that.
Yeah, I think it's on Hulu now. So yeah, I gotta watch that at some point too. They confirmed that Sonic 3 is already in the works, so even before Sonic 2 comes out this year, Sonic 3 is definitely on the way at some point. And there's going to be a Knuckles show on Paramount Plus that's going to be a spinoff of this like new Sonic movie universe, with Idris Elba's going to be back to voice Knuckles for that show. So that is coming exclusively to Paramount Plus after Sonic 2 comes out. Which I guess we probably won't have any idea of what the hell that show's gonna be until after the movie comes out, because like we have no idea what the hell Knuckles is doing in the movie except fighting Sonic at one point. So I would assume by the end of the movie that they're gonna become like friends or allies. So
I mean, like, it's gonna be that way. Maybe halfway into the second movie, but you know it's gonna happen.
I feel like it's gonna be the classic like Eggman tricks Knuckles into being like, oh, you gotta fight Sonic. He's your enemy. Then you realize like, oh no, like Robotnik's the bad guy.
Well, no. I mean, didn't the first movie kind of establish the Echidnas were like already like assholes?
That was yeah. I think we talked about it before, like, when like the first trailer for Sonic 2 came out. We were like, didn't Echidnas kill Sonic's like owl family like in the first movie?
Like, that's the thing they never address.
Yeah.
Which was that, like, why were they after Sonic? Because that was the point, was like, he's always been on the run with the owl ever since, of a reason. Like, the Echidnas and the Hedgehogs have been at war.
Yeah. I know, I guess we'll find out in a couple months, I guess, when Sonic 2 comes out. But yeah, Idris Elba is going to be is all in for Knuckles, apparently. He's going to Sonic 2, probably Sonic 3, and this show. So it's also weird, like Idris Elba's not even doing it's just his normal voice. He's not even trying to do like any sort of like other voice. It's like he's his normal voice for Knuckles. So also on the Transformer side of things, so Transformers Rise of the Beast is going to be coming out in 2023, which is going to be basically a sequel to Bumblebee, and hopefully is going to kind of continue Bumblebee's rehabilitation of that franchise, because Bumblebee is a huge step in the right direction for like what people actually want Transformers to be in movie form. And then Rise of the Beast is also going to like bring in like a bunch of like the Beast Wars characters to like live action, or quote unquote live action. They'll be CG, obviously, but it's going to be kind of like a Beast Wars, like G1 Transformers mashup. And there's going to be apparently two more sequels after that. So they're saying like Rise of the Beast in 2023, and then two more movies following that. There's going to be a new Nickelodeon cartoon show in the fall of this year. And then next year, there's going to be a CG Transformers movie in theaters, which not really any details for the details of that, but just like a fully CG Transformers movie. So, hopefully this is like some good Transformers stuff, not like we like survived like those like the like absolute dregs of live action Transformers. Like last night is, I was maybe the worst movie I've ever seen in my entire life. Like it's. Have you still not seen that, Chris? Like last night?
Nope. I just missed the boat on that, and I also missed the Bumblebee movie.
I man, I I really don't want to watch it again, but I also feel like we should watch it again, like commentary. Just
I mean, I've seen it bits and pieces out of context, and let me tell you, it is weird. Like the robot that like isn't a transformer car, like is a murderous robot butler. Optimus is like weird fight with the swords. Yeah. I was like, what am I watching?
Like, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you, like, I don't, like, the final battle, I literally have no idea what the hell happened, where anyone was, what the fuck was happening. Like, I was just, like, watching, just, like, what, this is just, like, this is, like, absolute, not, this is, like, the purest form of nonsense. Like, this is just, like, imagery, random imagery, like, happening. Like, there's nothing connecting this at all. There's, like, nothing. Like
yeah, I mean, I thought I was lost on certain things.
This is like the purest form of chaos I've ever seen. Like, this is just like absolute uncontrolled chaos nonsense.
I think like when you explained to me at one point that like Omicron was Earth all along.
Wait, is it Ultron or was it? Unicron. Unicron is Earth.
And they, like, all this time, they just didn't know that. I was just like, what?
Yeah. And they were, the villain was trying, I can't remember if it was Megatron or, like, some other villain was, like, trying to, like, reactivate Earth as, like, and, like, transform Unicron. And then, like, I think they were, like, trying to, like, blast Cybertron back into, like, Earth's orbit again. Like, which I think has had, like, at least twice in, like, Transformers movies. Like, they, like, try to, like, teleport Cybertron to Earth.
Or they're trying to make Earth into Cybertron. Like it's always the same two things.
Well, but I think in like last night they actually teleported Cybertron to Earth, but then like it only like they cut it off halfway through. So like there's just half of Cybertron is like floating in orbit now around Earth. Because they stopped the process. It's like, oh well, Cybertron is fucking destroyed now. Like that's done. Like it's like literally got cut in half by this teleportation. So. I don't know what we're doing now.
Bad plan. I just remember like the end credit. It was like another spoiler thing where it's like, check out this part with like Gemma Chang as like a robot. Like
she was, oh my god, I forget who she was supposed to be. I think she was supposed to be like a quintessence or something. Like if you remember like from the old cartoon, there's like the multi-faced guys. I think she was supposed to be like that like a new version of those characters, but thankfully Bumblebee I think like kind of just like restarted everything and basically like no it's like they're actually like the G1 it's like the actual Transformers you know and love, like everyone looks like they're like cartoon versions, it's actually like fun and like it doesn't have Michael Bay's terrible jokes or horrible characters or incoherent plots. So, yeah, hopefully after Bumblebee we're kind of like on a recovery path for Transformers. But yeah, I guess we'll find out next year when the first of three movies comes out. And then last bit of Paramount news was that Halo has been already renewed for a second season. So it's the second season or the first season is coming out. And next month, but there's already gonna be a second season on the way, so you don't have to worry about like it being canceled or anything. Like if you're watching the first season,
that's kind of good. Let's just see if it's any good first.
Oh, and I think they also I don't have the details, but like they're basically just going all in on like Yellowstone and like obviously and, like Tyler Sheridan, like he's got like Tyler Sheridan who like created like Yellowstone has like they said like he's making like. Three or four more shows, like there's gonna be like another Yellowstone spinoff show, like they're gonna drive Yellowstone into the ground, basically. One more news too. I forgot that this was also like announced. So we're finally getting the fifth Star Trek movie with like the like reboot like cast like. Chris Pine, Zachary Quinto, Zoe Saldana, Carl Urban, John Cho, Simon Pegg are all going to be back for a... Well, I guess it'd be the fourth movie, because like it was Star Trek, Star Trek Into Darkness, Star Trek Beyond. So this would be the fourth one. and Matt Shakman, who created like was the showrunner on WandaVision, is going to be directing this new one. J.J. Abrams is going to produce it. Which, I mean, man, when did Star Trek Beyond come out? That was like at least 5 years ago.
6 years. Yeah, 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah, so it's been a while. Yes. Star Trek Beyond was 2016, so it's been 6 years. Yeah, I think Beyond was definitely better than Into Darkness. So,
it was different. It was like nothing you've seen before compared to Into Darkness, which was more like a homage to all these things.
Yeah, Wrath of Khan, basically.
Though it was weird that there was like an evil Starfleet ship. Like that was different.
That was
the Skeleton Crew evil ship.
Yep.
Like you could run with like six people.
Yeah. Well, Beyond had the weird like Interstellar was like the bad guy. It was trying to like blow.
Well,
up,
he
like,
was the human and then became alien. I remember seeing bits and pieces of Beyond.
Yeah. Like he got like I forget if he got transformed on a mission and then that's why he hated like Starfleet now or something or. And it was like there's also the movie where like they like weaponized the Beastie Boys.
Is that the beginning?
No, I think it's toward the end, like because like I think there was like they had some like there was some sort of like a drone I think it's somebody like a sort like a some sort of like drone swarm or something, and they use like the beast, like they use sabotage to like lure them into like and then blow them up or something.
Oh, did they do the Beastie Boys song in Into the Darkness?
I think it's been like every movie. I think it was like in every reboot Star Trek movie, there was like they use Beastie Boys. And then, like, I think they had to blow up the Enterprise, but then, like, at the end of the movie, they're like building a new Enterprise. So, but yeah, hopefully it'll be good. And that cast is great. And unfortunately, like Anton Yelchin, passed away years ago, so he will not be Enterprise's role, but.
I think they'll get another, what was his name?
Like Helmsman or something? Or recast. I don't think they would never recast Chekhov, I don't think. They'd probably just, like, have, like, a new Helmsman
never
or something.
Never mention him.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's a good way to do it.
They could probably just mention, like, oh, he's, like, teaching at Starfleet now, or, like, he's, like, captaining his own ship, or, like, he's on another ship or something. Like, I'm sure they could come with some sort of, like, thing where they, like, pay, like, homage to him, then move on. So that's all the Paramount Plus stuff and Paramount news. So, other news, we're getting a new Muppets show over on Disney Plus, and it's gonna be a Electric Mayhem focus show. So the band from the Muppets, Dr. Teeth and all those guys, are gonna get their own show. And Adam Goldberg from the Goldbergs is gonna be involved. I think he might be producing the show, and then it's gonna be Basically, like the Electric Mayhem is trying to like record like their first like full like album and or like a new album, and they're like that's gonna be the show. It's basically following them trying to like record their album.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, I feel like there's been like Muppet stuff has been really like hit or miss recently. Like I really liked like the ABC show, but then obviously that got like horrible ratings or it was canceled. And then there was Muppets Now, which is a Disney Plus show that was like pretty, like it was kind of hit or miss as far, because it was like kind of just like individual like sketches every show, and some of them were like really good, and some of them were like just kind of like what. So that was kind of like a hit or miss show, but then Muppets Haunted Mansion was like fantastic. So hopefully, maybe they'll like maybe like just like pick up the momentum from that and like be like keep that going. And I feel like, I feel like Ultra Mayhem has not really got like, they're like the band has always been like consistently like great characters. Like they always have like great bits and great jokes, and although they haven't had the spotlight on them for an entire like show or movie or anything. But so I don't know if they get like the focus on them, if they're gonna like be able to, if they keep up their fun joke quality and everything. But hopefully they'll be able to do that. Because they work great. It's like kind of like just like aside, like they'll like make like a quick joke or something, and then cut back to like,
yeah, it's just banter from the band. They're not supposed to take the main focus, so it's interesting what they're gonna do with the main focus now.
Mm-hmm. And no word on when that's gonna show up on Disney Plus, but it's coming in the near future on Disney Plus, so keep an eye out for that. And then we also got some word that I don't know if it's the same movie that's been in development, but like there's been like some sort of BioShock movie in development for what seems like years now. But Netflix is going to be bringing a movie version of BioShock to their service.
Cool.
And yes, yeah, so they announced they're working with 2K Games and Take-Two, and they are developing a movie adaptation of BioShock.
Have you played any of the BioShock games?
I mean, I played all of them. So this is gonna be based on the first game. So you know, Rapture, Big Daddies, all that stuff.
I'm wondering if they're gonna kind of tie in the lore of the first. The whole series work, you know, Infinity kind of ties into BioShock, and then BioShock has the grand world of all this, crazy science.
Hint at multiple dimension universe kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always a lighthouse, there's always a man.
Yeah. They did mention like the potential for like a cinematic universe. So maybe if the first one does well, they'll like adapt like BioShock 2 or Infinity or something. And no director or no writers or anything. Like the last big kind of BioShock movie thing was Gore Verbinski was trying to like make a movie for like forever, and then that never really happened. So I think this Netflix movie is basically a full like kind of like start from square one, reboot kind of thing. Like, and probably ways off if they're like going totally like back to like square one. Like they got a script written, they got to get like a director and writers and everything. So, probably quite a ways off. But hopefully Netflix can make it happen and make it a good adaptation of the game.
Yeah, if they do it right. But the thing is the protagonist not going to talk, or is he just kind of like...
Oh, man, yeah, they got to figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with that.
I mean, because Infinity, like, that doesn't have that issue, because you had Booker, and Booker talked, and, like, he had, like, a personality. But, like, yeah, like, Jack for the first game has, like, no personality. Like, that's like the entire, like, premise of the game is that he has no free will or choices or anything. So it's just like, yeah, how do you make, like, a main character... Like, who do you cast and how do you do that?
Another thing is, I hope they kind of stay with the formula of the game, or they're going to do, like, you know, before BioShock Falls, and it's just kind of like living under Andrew Ryan's rule and the...
I think there's been a couple novels, but there's definitely, like, one novel in particular that was, like the prequel, to, like, the pre-fall Rapture story. And I think the like Infinity DLC was also like kind of like pre-fall, like pre-disaster rapture kind of stuff, because it wasn't like in like ruins yet.
You kind of got like a few months before like the events of the first game.
Yeah. So so we'll have to see if Netflix can do justice to BioShock. So we also got some news that Jean-Claude Van Damme is retiring from the world of acting and action movies. But we got word about his final movie. So he's making one final action movie called What's My Name, where it sounds like it's going to be similar to like JCVD or Jean-Claude Van Johnson, where like he's going to be playing himself or like a version of himself. But then he gets into a car accident and goes into a coma. And then when he wakes up from a coma, he has amnesia. And so he doesn't know that he's Jean-Claude Van Damme. But then kind of like on his quest to like figure out who he is, like he fights characters from like his previous movies. Like he's fighting like Bloodsport. He goes to like all of his like villains from like Bloodsport and Kickboxer and like other movies.
It's cool that he's able to do this. It's kind of sad that this would be his like send off, but it's good that it's like he got to choose this send off instead of like a made for DVD movie.
Yeah,
with, like no one.
And it's apparently like it's likely that Dolph Lundgren, Michael Kesey from Kickboxer and Bolo Young are gonna show up as their characters from those from like so like Dolph Lundgren's gonna be playing obviously like his character from Universal Soldier, and Michael Kesey will be his character from Kickboxer, and Bolo Young will be from Double Impact / Bloodsport. So and. Yeah, no word on release date yet, but I think he's gonna be working on training and getting ready for it soon, and then basically Van Damme said once he's done with this movie, he's just gonna he bought a boat. He's just gonna like kind of like sail around and like hang out on his boat and just like relax and live his life.
Wow.
Hang out with his like little dog that he rescued from like whatever, like that was like whole crazy story. Like he like rescued this dog from like it was like stopped at the border or something. I remember this whole thing. But yeah, hopefully this is like a good like finale for Jean-Claude Van Damme. And we'll obviously see it as soon as it comes out. So, last bit of news for this week is that we're getting a Blade Runner TV show over at Amazon on Prime Video. So, it's going to be a sequel to the original and Denis Villeneuve's Blade Runner 2049. It's going to be Blade Runner 2099, so 50 years after Denis Villeneuve's movie in the Blade Runner universe. Not a lot of plot details, but it's basically just going to be like, progressing even further into the future of Blade Runner and seeing like obviously like probably replicants are going to be showing up and whatever else as advanced in technology wise in 50 years since 2049. And really Scott is gonna be back to produce it, and then I don't know if he's gonna be like directing episodes or anything, but he'll be back to produce it. And yeah, I don't think no word about if anyone from either movie is gonna be I don't think Harrison Ford's gonna show up or Ryan Gosling or this isn't anyone's gonna has signed on to like show up yet from either movie original movie.
I think it's just gonna be kind of set in that universe.
Yeah, well, there was the Adult Swim had like that anime show, like the Black Lotus show.
I think that was originally a Crunchyroll show, and then they just kind of are premiering it on Adult Swim.
I think Warner or like whoever owns Adult Swim and Crunchyroll, same company owns both, so I think they're like...
No. They split. Sony bought Crunchyroll.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, but I think it was definitely an Adult Swim Crunchyroll like joint production. That's why it's able to show up on both places. So
yeah, well, at the time Crunchyroll was owned by AT&T, which was like, or AT&T owned Warner and Crunchyroll, and then they started selling it.
Mm-hmm. But that was that in 2032. So that was like kind of between the original and 2049, and then this will be 2099, obviously. So. Yeah, so I guess we'll wait and see for see what's going on, and because it seems like it's all probably a ways off as well, because it's just got announced. There's like no like actors attached or anything yet, so definitely have to keep it out for whatever maybe plot details or who gets cast in this or any sort of tie-ins to the originals or what's going on with it. I guess Prime, like Amazon's looking for like more like, because The Expanse was their big sci-fi show, but that like wrapped up like I think end of last year. So they're looking for some sort of like probably big sci-fi show to go along with their big fantasy show, Lord of the Rings. So
right.
But so that's it for news this week. So why don't you jump into show and tell? And Chris, did you see anything over the last week or so here?
Yeah, I had a weird combo of movies.
Okay.
And I kind of watched them out of order. But so I saw Dora the Explorer.
Okay.
So like the movie, the like Lost City of Gold. Mm-hmm. Or just called like Lost City. It's pretty good. It is like wildly aware that it is like based on a kids thing, and the movie isn't really meant for kids. It's pretty like fun PG-13. Like you kind of want, if they were smarter and they want to make way more money on this movie, they would have went for a hard R, and this movie would have been hilarious. But even for what they did, it was good. Like it was like surprisingly competent. And story and tone, and then great usage of a character that can speak to kids in a way. And then like now that she's grown up and it's just kind of like this socially awkward person, but like still has that like spirit of being like friendly, like and like cheerful. It has that like Brady Bunch movie thing where like in her world it's normal, but to everyone else are like, please God, please change. Like, don't, why are you like this?
Yeah, because I think there's a whole thing where like she had to like go to like regular high school and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's just like, who's this weirdo? Like,
yeah, and she kind of is like free spirited, doesn't quite understand like the culture, but like because she's out of her like habitat, so she tries to adapt and it goes wrong, and then still like because her parents are going to find this lost city somewhere in like Peru. And she gets sent to her uncle and her aunt and uncle who live in LA, where Diego is. And then they go to high school. And she's like really intelligent. And that's the joke, is that her parents are professors and she knows like very academically smart people. So book smart, she's like way advanced. Like she's just like, she understands the culture, she understands people, but like that's what doesn't make her happy. So she just likes to be herself. So even if she's like struggling to like talk to people, she's like, you know, like understand like why I'm here and like why people like hate me. Like it's pretty funny when she has like this kind of like analyst of like, oh, Dora, like, you know, why can't you accept society like that? She's like, no. Society like puts false pretenses on people to but like make them believe that like they should fit in while you should be an individual that is unique and like you'll live a better life. It's just like so deep and it's like, what? And then that's how the movie starts. But there's this hilarious thing where the movie sort of is the live action of the TV show, where it's like, oh, the TV show didn't really happen. It's more like their imagination made it happen. So it's like, they've always been safe. They've never been like crazy in the sense of like, oh, they've just been exploring and doing all these things. But they sort of mentioned that, like, yeah, certain things were canon, like Swiper's a real fox that, like, is a problem for Dora, and then Boots is a wild monkey that they just sort of tame. They don't really, like, acknowledge that it's a, like, CG monkey. And then same thing with Swiper, like, a CG fox, but they're just, like, used to it being, like, this clever, far advanced fox. But then it's like, okay, the kids, it's like, that's what, like, the joke of the beginning is. It's like, okay, going that premise alone, where the show sort of didn't happen, but then it did. So that's why I'm like, all right, pick a lane movie. Then it kind of gets crazy, because the concept of now is Dora and her, like, her cousin and, like, these two kind of tag-along friends get kidnapped and brought to Peru to try to find her parents. And then they deal with the consequence of, like, okay, Dora, like, you're too cheery for this, like, situation. She's like, well, I have to be cheery. Like, that's how I was. That's, like, makes me happy. And it's funny, because the movie does build up the fact that, like, she's a stranger in, like, L.A., but in the jungle, she's right at home. Mm-hmm. So she's, like, an excellent, like, outdoors person. And she's, like, way more prepared. Like, she has, like, a knife. And then she has, like, all these, like, equipment stuff that she just carries in her bag. And then one person I just did not expect was that, what's his name? The guy who plays Boba Fett.
Yeah, Tamara Morrison.
Tamara Morrison is in this movie. That caught me off surprise, like, immediately. I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, they're this mercenary group that is trying to find Dora's parents. And then then it's, like, Dora in the jungle. Then it's pretty funny because it's, like, all the things that she's used to. Like, all these, like, city people have, like, no survivability. But she's, like, super prepared because she's been doing this since she's been a kid. And then Diego sort of, like, forgot how the jungle works. So it's pretty funny to watch him, like, kind of be like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember this. Only because, like, in the early part of the movie, he leaves the jungle. So he goes to L.A. So it kind of concludes, like, how the kid show Go Diego Go ends with him leaving. It's actually pretty sad, where it's like, well, this is the last adventure for both of us and stuff. And it's just like, oh, if I grew up with this, like, I grew up outside of Dora the Explorer. So, you know, it wasn't as meaningful to me. But if you grew up with Dora the Explorer, this was, like, really, like, whoa. You know, now you're old, kid. But they do this fun sequence where they stumble across these, like, hallucinogenic flowers, and then, like, the group gets high, and it reverts back to the Dora the Explorer cartoon. Like, it's like they're trippy, and that happens. Like, Dora's imagination takes over, and it makes everything alive. Like, her backpack is, like, the actual backpack from the show. Like, the map starts talking to her. Like, all these things have faces, and she's like, okay, hey everyone, I haven't seen you in a while. Like, it's very clever in how they do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, there's a character that gets buck naked. Like, you don't see Dong, but, like, he's just starts getting naked, which is funny to think about the Dora the Explorer animation style, and now there's just, like, a naked man. That throws you off. Like, that's where I was like, mm-hmm. This movie's not gonna mess around. And that's why it's pretty funny. There is a great, great comedic moment, which I don't spoil so much, but it is with, like, Dora's having this, like, heartbreak moment where she's kind of like, oh, no one believes me, I lost hope. And then Boots, her monkey, like, starts talking. And it's, like, it's built up because the whole part of the movie is that, like, the monkey wasn't real. And then it's like, well, the monkey is in the way the show predicts it. It's supposed to be just, like, a wild animal. But then during her, like, grief, it, like, snaps in and it's Danny Trejo talking. And there's, like, wise voice of, like, giving, it's like a Silent Bob moment, you know,
mm-hmm.
of just like, hey, here's, like, the point where I give you the best of advice that I can, you know, to cheer you up and inspire you. And it's just Danny Trejo, and it's so out of left field. And for me, that, like, I totally forgot who's in this movie, like, what was it about. It just, like, hit me so good hearing this. I was, like, laughing. It got me. Because you just don't expect it. And they kind of really know the comedic timing of, like, how to, like, build up the the hits of it. So, like, I am genuinely shocked how good this movie was. It's like, it has no right to be this good. One of the things they also do, and it's like a couple, they have the common theme of death, which I was really like, whoa. It's like this one character, so it's like drowning in quicksand, and then like he comes out and it's like, oh yeah, I survived, yeah, you made it, woo! But then it's like, could have died. It was lights out. I didn't know what was gonna happen. That was the last adventure. No one would know. Like, it's like they break it down a lot and it gets funny, but it's like dark and it's like, what is happening? This movie's supposed to be like a kid's movie or something. I'm like, it's not. It's totally not. It happens a couple times. There's one character that thinks he gets shot, and he's like, I'm bleeding out. That's the end. Oh, I'm alive. I could have died. It's another character too. It's not even the same character that's worrying about death. It's just another character's realization how vulnerable they are in the goddamn jungle. You know, like in Jumanji, when they die, they kind of brush it off. They're like, ha ha ha, you know. Mm-hmm. But this was like, no, it's like, they were super aware of their mortality. So I definitely recommend it. I was like, I can't believe like this movie's been slept on. At least maybe I just didn't hear enough of the promotion, but this movie was actually way better than you think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the other like Paramount Plus announcements they made was like, they're going to make a show that's in this basically sort of like a sequel to this, but not. I don't know if everyone's coming back from like this movie, but like there's gonna be like a live action show that's like in kind of the spirit of this movie, where it's like older, it's older Dora, like kind of like same kind of vibe sort of thing.
I'll be about that. Like, the writing is good enough that you don't need that much original characters. There's a lot of fun situational things, and then just like awareness of how it's happening. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not a lot of comedies days do that well. So when they did this, it was just like, oh, they know, like, this is a very unusual situation. And then they have a lot of, like, the straight-laced character who's supposed to point out, like, you're not supposed to do this. Why is this happening? So they have, like, a good balance of that. You know, just the formula of like Dora does something unrealistic. There's a character just like pointing out, going like, bullshit. Like, that's not a real thing. She should be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the follow up in the same night to Dora the Explorer was Nightmare Alley.
Okay.
Like I said, like, the worst combo, because it's like whatever great feelings I had and like the comedy joy and just laughter, immediately dead by Nightmare Alley's like, depressing tone.
Yeah, get ready for a dark noir. Like,
so did you know about Nightmare Alley? Because I went into it not knowing anything.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm definitely gonna check it out soon at some point. But I just know it's sort of like Bradley Cooper is like a con artist and kind of like rises up, like he's kind of like using his like mental skills. He's like a mentalist or something, basically, or
it's like the invention of a mentalist.
Yeah.
So I came in this like cold, didn't really understand the trailers, because the trailers really don't say anything, like some of the modern ones. And I think it's a good reason not to. And it definitely is a movie that, like, if you see a lot of neo-noir thrillers, like, you'll stumble upon references to Nightmare Alley or kind of like the just like the ideas behind it are pretty cool.
Well, I think it was a pretty big book in like the 40s, I think.
The 40s, yeah.
And then there's an original movie version of it. Yeah.
That was it. So it was like, oh, I'd never heard of this movie and I never heard of like the concept. So the movie is about like the main plot of it is that this guy works at a carnival because he's like trying to outrun his past. So that's Bradley Cooper. And because I didn't know anything about this movie, I thought Bradley Cooper's character just didn't talk. And it's like, no, that doesn't make sense. He's a mentalist. Like, he has to talk. But like, it's a good 10 minutes into the movie before Bradley Cooper starts talking. Mm-hmm. Like, he's there in rooms and just kind of nodding and, like, looking. And then just kind of, like grunting or just kind of, like, shaking his head. Like, it just, I'm like, is that the special part of the character? Is that, like, he's kind of just trying to observing? And then it just breaks into, like, snappy talk. And I was like, oh, okay. I just had to give him dialogue. So, as a carnival guy, he just works at this freak show attraction. And he is, like, just doing day-to-day work. And then he befriends a fake psychic duo, which is, you know, some person is doing kind of like small mentalist tricks. Like, it's not quite the mentalist the way it's like trying to ghost, like, do a code read yet, but it's like the precursor where it's like, no, they understand. Like, this one group has their own techniques for code reading and then how to do like crowd work, but they always at the end make it so that they remind people that it's a show, not real. So Bradley Cooper is like, well, what if I take that and just kind of like don't mention that it's a show? Like, just keep living the act that I can, like, do this. Like, I can speak to the dead. I can read your mind. I am a powerful wizard, basically. It's like people will fear and love me. So he takes it to like the next level where it's like now he's got like he doesn't need the carny anymore. Bradley Cooper now takes the act through a series of events where he can now. Like, he sells it up. Like, whatever he learned in the carnival, now he knows, like, okay, I can build, like, a one-man act on this, so I don't need everything else. Like, people will just pay to come see me. And so he does the things where, like, well, I won't, like, he has no morals to trick people to, like, a deeper degree. Like, he knows, like, there's, like, this thing in the movie kind of explains, like, the original mentalist guy goes, no, like, after a certain level of questions and of, like, belief, like, your brain, something goes wrong in your brain, and, like, they think, like, you've shown them true magic in that sense, or, like, you really, like, broke their world, and now, like, they'll believe anything if you keep telling them that. So, the movie kind of does that thing where Bradley Cooper tries to keep restraint until, basically, an opportunity presents himself, and then it's, like, he kind of gets into this, he, like, works his way up into the elite class of Buffalo, New York. Mm-hmm. And he meets a psychiatrist who teams up with him, like figures out his scam, and then she's got her own scam, and they work together to really improve Bradley Cooper's, like, scam, like, mentalist powers. He's like, well, he knows, like, everyone's darkest secret. Well, that's because, like, the psychiatrist kind of, like, analyzes what really is through all the therapy sessions, and then he plays it up in entertainment. So, like, it everything gets kind of raised too fast for both they can handle. And the movie's, like, 2.5 hours long, so it's, like, it goes through, like, arcs. And it's good, but, man, is it a downer. It's one of those things where it escalates, and there's, in my opinion, there's no gigantic, maybe because, like, it's a Guillermo del Toro movie, so unless it's, like, not a monster fight or a epic climax, it's a very mild, plateau, where it's basically, you know, it's like, oh, it's out of control now, oh, it's too much, and it's just like, well, in his, it's in that fairy tale form where, like, you know, there's no evil monster to fight and then save the day. It's going to be one of those things where you live with the guilt you cause. And then, like, that's the end. It's like one of those, German fairy tales. It's like not a happy ending version. You know, it's like, oh, some people walked away and they, like, are alive, but they're not better for it, you know? So Nightmare Alley in this version is way more dramatic. Like, it's played for slow burn, scene chewery, like, oh, watch Bradley Cooper just, like, switch emotions on the fly and really convey, like, this hurt. And I'm like, oh, okay. Can I go back to like, Dora, like, yelling at a monkey? Like, you know, it's, like, not a great combo of, like, yeah, like fun, and then it's like, shit, I'm in an art class, like watching this film history or something. So, yeah, I definitely want to get more into it. I definitely say watch it. I told you more than the trailer tells you about, because the trailer just shows you like clips of the movie, like just or like just scenes with no context, and then the movie really goes into, you know, the world of, you know, entertainment versus scams, then greed versus like the soul. So it's pretty good. I just didn't appreciate it at that moment because I was just like, just not a great one too. It's more like I should have definitely separated these viewings to give it more respect. But I liked it. Like, it's one of those movies that's gonna stay with you. And it's very like original, but it, now that I realize, like, oh, it's actually based on a novel, based on like a movie, like it's a good remake. It conveys the same beats, and I feel like you can watch either version. Where I've seen clips of, I looked online and I watched some YouTube clips of the original Nightmare Alley, and it's like, okay, it talks like the appropriate era, so this is just a more modern take of it. But I wouldn't say that the original isn't worse. Like, it's just a different version of it, and so the remake is definitely more modern, and then the modern storytelling of it is very Guillermo del Toro colors. But there's no monster, you know. Like, I was expecting like Nightmare Alley. It's like, oh, maybe like he walks through an alley and like there's actually like ghosts and shit. It's like, nope, none of that at all. And I was like, oh, what's this movie about? Like on HBO Max, I like, before I played it, like read the description, I was like, the movie's about this? Like, you know, I was shocked. I was like, that's what it is? Yeah, if you're going in with nothing like I did, definitely be prepared. I was expecting like a horror movie or something, and it's not.
Yeah, none of the usual like Guillermo del Toro like creatures or horror stuff.
Yeah, so I was kind of shocked. So I was like, oh, okay. You know, I was expecting like Lady in the Water, or not Lady in the Water.
Shape of Water.
Shape of Water. That's what I was expecting. I was like, is it going to be Shape of Water? Aha, nope. None of that. But yeah, that's it for me. What about you?
Well, I guess I'll kick things off with another kind of Guillermo del Toro thing. Although he just produced this one, he didn't direct or anything. But I saw Antlers, which it's also on HBO Max. I got the Blu-ray from Netflix, but you can watch it on HBO Max right now as well. Yeah, came out last year. Came out like last October, I think. And yeah, produced by Guillermo del Toro, directed by Scott Cooper, in like his first kind of like he hasn't really done like. He definitely didn't do any horror movies before. Like, he did, like, he's done, like, his last couple movies were, like, Crazy Heart and Black Mass and Hostiles. Like, he's done, like, you know, like, westerns or crime movies or, like, or, like, Crazy Heart, like, a musical drama. Like, so, yeah, he's not, like, a horror director, but this is, like, his first, like, horror movie. But definitely has a lot of, like he's done a lot of like especially in like one of his movies, like Out of the Furnace. Like, there was, it was like sort of this like, you know, like kind of like Rust Belt kind of like rural, like there's a lot of commentary about like the opioid epidemic and like other like social stuff. And then there's like some of that in Antlers too. There's like, it's like the whole thing kicks off because like there's like these guys are like cooking like meth in like an abandoned mine, and then they get attacked, and then the one guy who's like cooking meth is like has two kids, and one of his kids also gets like he gets kind of like infected by something, and then one of his sons gets infected by something, and then they're like transforming into like strange creatures, and then the one's like 12-year-old son who's left is like kind of like locked them in a room in his house and kind of like just like find, like, he has to, like, find, like, roadkill or kill animals for them to eat. But then his teacher at school, who's played by Kerry Russell, like, kind of, like, notices, like, his, like, he's, like, drawing, like, disturbing pictures, and, like, he's, like, looks, like, very, like, malnourished and abused. Then she kind of like tries to investigate and figure out what's going on with him. And then Jesse Plemons is also in it, and he's like Carrie Russell's brother, who's like the sheriff of town. And that's basically those two are kind of trying to figure out what the hell is going on with this kid. And it's pretty solid horror movie. There's some cool kind of gruesome stuff that happens, especially later on. And kind of like definitely like a slow burn. Like you don't really get any sort of crazy creature stuff until the last act of the movie. There's definitely some disturbing horror stuff before that, but there's some crazy Guillermo del Toro style creature stuff at the end. It was written by Nick and Costa, who created Channel Zero. So he's also another part of the horror kind of team behind it.
So it's got a pedigree. That's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's not revolutionize the horror genre or anything. But if you're looking for a solid horror movie, it's worth checking out, I think. And with a great cast in it, Jesse Plemons, Carrie Russell are great as always in it, and a lot of good character actors pop up in it too as well. So definitely check it out on HBO Max or anywhere else you want to grab that. And then also on HBO Max, I saw the Peacemaker season finale, which I know, Chris, you haven't seen that yet, so I won't spoil anything. Although, I mean, I think the internet pretty much spoiled the big thing that happened in it, without any sort of warning or it's literally everywhere. So I don't know what the hell happened there, but yeah, it was a fantastic season finale. And the whole show was just so much fun. So great. Cannot wait for the recently announced season 2. I don't know what they're gonna do with it, but it'll be as good as the first season. Hopefully everyone will be back from the main cast. Some really awesome action in the season finale. There's a really awesome it's almost like a one take scene where everyone's fighting this army of butterfly people. And have you seen everything up to the season finale, Chris? Or how many?
Yep, I have.
So you saw the cow, that yep. That is such for a TV show, that is movie quality. That thing looks fantastic for a TV show, just the CG on that thing. And so it's just such a weird, crazy James Gunn creature thing too. Just giant caterpillar worm thing that they milk for it's almost like Futurama. It's the slurm queen where yep. they get slurm from. Oh, there's also a great bit they do a bunch of stuff with in the season finale, but all Peacemaker's helmets they brought, so you get a lot of They've done a little bit throughout the whole season. It's different helmets and their functions, but you get a lot of Peacemaker helmet stuff in the season finale, which is a ton of fun as well. So maybe if you see the we can dive in next week if you see the season finale, Chris.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
But such a fantastic show. And then the other thing I watched is I've seen the first season, and probably gonna get into the second season soon, but I saw the first season of C on Apple TV Plus. So this is the Jason Momoa sci-fi adventure drama show where it's set in a similar premise to Into the Badlands or Horizon Zero Dawn, where it's there was an apocalypse, but now it's post-apocalypse, where it's hundreds of years after the apocalypse, and humanity has kind of rebuilt itself into this new civilization. But on C, it was basically in the 21st century, there was basically a virus happened and wiped out all but 2 million people, And then everyone who survived, like, lost the ability to see. And then, like, subsequent, like, generations, like, were also born blind. So basically, it's, like, it's the entire, like, the entire world now is, like, blind. But then there's kind of, like, what kicks off in, like, the show is that there's, like, there's one guy who was born with the ability to see again. And then he's kind of, like, running around, like, having children who can also see. But because it's been like hundreds of years since people were able to see, like, sight has become like this kind of like myth, or, and there's also like, it's like also this like kind of like religious heresy kind of thing, where like there's like people are like seeing is like a sin, or like seeing is like against God, because everyone's blind. So like there's like the main kind of like antagonist of the show is like this like one kingdom ruled by this kind of like ruthless queen. And she is like kind of like real, like psychotic, like religious fanatic, who's like, it's like anyone who sees is a witch, and we're gonna kill we gotta kill them all. So like that's kind of like the whole thing is like Jason Momoa, like his character Baba Voss, is like the chief of this tribe, and then like he takes in like this woman who's pregnant with like, and she like she got pregnant by the guy who like Gerald Morrell, who can see. He's the guy who like was born with the ability to see, but then Jason Momoa like takes him as like her wife, like he takes her as his wife, and then like she gives birth to like these twins, and the twins can see, but now they're like another target to like this like queen, like her army, and like his her like witch hunter, who's like running around trying to like find all these like sighted people. So that's kind of the whole thing, is like they have to like go on the run, and they're like fighting off this army, and also trying to figure out the twins true father, like laid all these like clues to like find him eventually at some point, because he's like trying to like rebuild like a sighted society somewhere. So they're like on a quest, like trying to like find where he is. So it's a solid show. They do a lot of like interesting things with like the world building and stuff. Like there's like kind of like cool interesting little things with like how like society like works with like how with everyone being blind. Like they come up with like, instead, obviously they don't have like written language, because you can't see what you're writing, you can't read what you're writing. So they can't. So now they have like humanity basically is like this like language is like not like strings and knots. So it's like this like everyone like if you're like sending messages, you like have this string with like a bunch of knots in it, and the knots like designate different words or letters. So it's like everyone like. So that's how, like everyone.
It's like rope for hell.
Yeah, it's like rope braille, and everyone just kind of like feels the like rope, and like, oh, this is what this message means. And like the fighting style is pretty interesting too. Like, there's like it's like this like different kind of like fighting. Like it's a lot of like knocking on things, and like Jason Momoa does a lot of knocking on trees, or it's a lot of waiting for like someone to make a move so you can hear where they go. It's kind of like Daredevil style, like waiting for someone to like move so you can like hear where they are and like attack them at where they are. But it's also super brutal too. There's a lot of crazy, like I think at one point like Jason Moore like rips the guy's face, like grabs him by the like mouth and like rips his head, the top of his head off and stuff. So it's like,
I'm getting confused. Like it. Is he like super strong, or just like in the future, like everyone's like gorilla strength?
He's like I would say like stronger than most, because he's like Jason Momoa. He's like this big compared to like everyone else, he's like this like big bulking dude. He does a lot of fighting with like swords, and like he does a lot of like stuff where like he like swipes his sword on the ground, and there's a lot of like feeling around trying to like find where people are, and there's when armies are fighting each other, there's like a lot of stuff with like people, there's like the armies have like guys in the front with like whips or like ropes, kind of like, and then they're kind of like swinging those around trying to like seeing if there's like people around. So it's a lot of sound and movement based fighting. Like people are kind of like right next to each other, but they have to like wait till they hear something, and then they attack and like kill each other and stuff. So
it's like playing tag basically.
Yeah. Like with your eyes closed or something. So, But yeah, all the action is like definitely like super interesting, and like it's like they definitely came up with like kind of like a unique kind of like fighting style, and like definitely a lot of thought into like how armies would like travel and how armies would like fight each other when everyone's blind. And it also has like that like kind of cool where it's like you see like kind of remnants of like the old world. There's like sometimes someone will have like a record from like that has like a song, like a 21st century song on it they're playing, or like there's like books from like, you know, like books from like the 21st century will show up, or like you'll see like building like old buildings and like structures from like the previous world. So it's set in like America and stuff. Like it's not like a fantasy world or anything. It's like it's in an
island somewhere.
No, yeah, it's our like Earth and everything, in our world and everything. But it's just like, you know, 500 years in the future where everyone's blind. but now there's like people that could see coming back again, and. I definitely want to check out season two, because like season two was like I heard about season one. I was like, that sounds kind of interesting. But then season two was like, oh, Jason Momoa was going to fight Dave Bautista for the entire season. And that was like, oh, I'm in that now. So yeah, definitely gonna start season two just to like check out the Dave, because like Dave Bautista is like the big like co-star now. Yeah. And I think there's gonna be a season three coming soon too. I just wanted to like try to like watch as much Apple TV Plus stuff as I can, because I'm like borrowing my grandma's account that she got for free when she bought an iPad last year, and it like expires in like May. So I'm just gonna like, try to like cram as much free Apple TV Plus stuff in as I can.
Smart.
But yeah, I would say if you have Apple TV Plus and you haven't checked it out yet, I would say check that out. If you're looking for like a kind of like a cool kind of like sci-fi, it's not really fantasy, it's sci-fi action kind of show.
Well, because like I think it's like grounded, it's not like super
yeah there's no magic, there's no like wizards, there's like no one has powers. It's more sci-fi just because of like the premise and stuff, and like it's like, you know, it's like in the future. And it definitely has that kind of like Horizon Zero Dawn kind of thing, where like it's everyone's kind of like reverted to like tribes again. It's like very tribal societies, but then it's like this like kind of bigger kingdom that's like operating out of like this like abandoned dam. So it's like there's like these little tribes, but then like this like bigger kingdom with like the bigger army is like kind of like ruling over everybody. So so that's what I've been checking out this week. So we can wrap up the show. You can definitely head over to Slabby. We have a bunch of stuff up there. Next week is going to be our commentary on Triple Threat. That'll be up next week on the site, so you can head over and check that out when it comes out. And all of our previous commentaries up there as well. You can check out like Free Jack and all the other movies we've watched recently for commentaries. And all the regular features up there as well, so reviews and trailers and all that stuff is up there. So, you know, head over and check all that stuff out on everythingaction.com. And so for Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.